is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the heart of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Great to be with you today. We're going to continue our series on the rapture controversy. The rapture controversy. We want to thank those of you who are giving to this ministry so we may continue our worldwide outreach. Some people get up at very strange times during the night and the morning just to hear this program. And we appreciate all of you in foreign lands, foreign from the United States that is, who are doing so. But we also know this, that those who know Jesus Christ are of the family of God. We're of one holy nation. We are the people of God. Galatians 3 verse 29 says, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs to the promise. My friends, did you know that Galatians 6 says there's an Israel of God? Now there is an Israel in the Middle East, a nation that very, very unfortunately betrayed God, rebelled against God. And God said he's going to take the kingdom and give it to another nation. And he did. And that nation is made up of Gentiles, Jews, Germans, Americans, Mexicans, Santo Domingans, Brazilians, Chinese, Canadians, Russians, Romanians. And did you know that God doesn't really care what you look like, if you're short or tall or brown or yellow or white or black? Because when you get to heaven, he's going to give you a new body. In fact, on the way to heaven, you're going to get an immortal new body. It'll probably be of some spiritual substance, but I really don't know. But Paul said that he knew one thing, that we would be like him. We would be like Christ. We would not be Christ, but we're going to be somehow of the same kind of a supernatural essence as Christ. Isn't that an astonishing thing when you think about it? I doubt very seriously you're going to think about yourself as a black man or a white man or anything else. Doesn't that sort of put an end to all these doctrines of racism, of bigotry? A Jew is no better than a Gentile, that's no better than a Jew, that's no better than, and you go on and on and on. A Christian cannot be a racist then, can he? Well, I guess there's some that are racist, but it's a sin. I cherish our foreign listeners. Again, they're foreign to the United States, but they're not foreign to the house of God. And they are fellow citizens, the Bible says, of the commonwealth of Israel. That's right, Israel has been changed into a holy nation that is a commonwealth. And God has broken down the partition that divided us. If you don't believe that, friends, you don't believe the Bible. We all still live in our nations. We all still have our races, our nationalities, our ethnic origins, our biases, our prejudice. I understand that. But we should shake off those things and remember that we're of one holy nation, Abraham's seed. We are of the Israel of God. Isn't that an amazing thing? Israel of God. That's what you are. We are of the Israel of God. Well, that deserves a sermon in itself. And I'm going to preach one not too long from now. But today we're going to continue the rapture series. First of all, love to hear from you. Love to hear your comments. You may not agree with me. I suspect that most of you do, though, if you have read the Bible, because that's what I use. I always say, well, what does God say about that? People ask me so many questions, sometimes I don't have the answers. But I go to the Bible, I find them. I discover them. I don't just go to one verse, though. I'll go many verses. And after a while, you build up a strong case for your answer. And then I have confidence. I've been challenged many times on my beliefs. And I love to receive a challenge because I always go back to the Bible and say, well, let's just look at what God says. Sometimes the answer is not pleasing to me, what I find in the Bible. Is that a revelation to you, friends? Now, let me tell you what happens when I find an answer that I don't like. This has happened. Not very often, but it has happened. You know what I do, friends? I say, Lord Jesus, I've got some kind of a biased opinion based on my human experience. I've got some idea or conception that shouldn't be there. What I think is not what you say. Please, Lord, change my mind. Transform me. Make me have the mind of Christ. And you know what? God does that. In fact, even before I ask him, I find he's already working on me. If I believe something about a certain doctrine or teaching, but when I get into the Bible, I find out that I'm wrong, I find already that my conscience is being pushed, stretched. In fact, sometimes it's just being beaten. The Holy Spirit says, Tex, you're thinking wrong. And I'll tell you, friends, that's when I begin to really ask the Lord to help me. And he always has. You see, I want to believe just what the Bible says, and that's what I do. Today, as far as I know, as I'm sitting here, what I believe about the doctrines in the gospel are exactly what the Bible says. And that's the only thing that keeps me straight, the Bible. If I went about in my own direction, I don't know where I'd be off. I mean, I'd be lost. I really would be. But that's how I keep my bearings. That's how I keep straight. A lot of people think I'm quite an eccentric character. In fact, I was reading on the web last night. I mean, I was reading some things about me on the web. You know, you go to these search engines, and I just type in the name Tex Mars and see what they say about me. I'm the only Tex Mars in the whole world. There's other people named Mars, but their first name is not Tex. So I go there, and I look up what people are saying about me all over the world. I found last night on, I think it was Yahoo.com, I think there were, about 70 pages and about 4,180 reference sources. 4,000, can you imagine 4,180 magazines and websites and things mentioning something about Tex Mars? Many of them are very, very, they're not very generous, I'll tell you that. I mean, if I believe those things, I think I'd want to shoot that guy called Tex Mars. But I know they're not right, and they're not true, so I just go on, and I laugh about them. Yes, I do. I actually laugh about the criticism. But the other night was really funny. Wanda was downstairs, and I was up in our little office, and I said, Wanda, come up here and look at this. See what some of these people are saying about me. And she read it, and I think she was starting to get mad. There was an article on there some guy wrote from the magazine Japan Today. It was an English magazine all the way over in Japan. And there was an internet version of this magazine, Japan Today. And boy, he just took me to task. Tried to make me look ridiculous. I think Wanda, you know, she takes that from, she was getting a little angry. She was getting a little hot under the collar. And I said, well, now don't worry your pretty little head about it. Don't even think about it. And I just broke out, and I mean, I just leaned my head back, and I just had the biggest old laugh in the world. She said, what are you laughing about? Look what they're saying about you. I says, well, that's wonderful. The more they talk about me, the more they get other people to read what I'm really saying. I went to one guy, and he was saying, oh, this man is ridiculous. He's a kook. He's a nut. He's a wacko. He's a Looney Tunes. Don't listen to him. And then right below that, this is on one of those chat pages, the next guy, they call it a thread, and you go back down, see what the next person said. The next person said, wait just a minute. Don't write Tex Mars off. I thought he was crazy, too. I went on his website, though, and you know what? He makes a lot of sense. He said this about this and this about this. I recommend all of you read it. You see how God works? The first guy said I was a wacko, but that sort of piqued the interest of the second guy. And he went on my website just to see for himself. There's a lot of people out there that say, I don't just take what other people say. I want to check it out for myself. And even my enemies cause people to come and read my books and websites. Once got a letter from a witch, a former witch. She said, everybody in my witch's coven was talking about what a hateful man you were. Oh, all they could do is curse. They put spells on you, hexes, to try to destroy you. It seems like you're very hated in the witchcraft community. I wanted to find out what all the hubbub was about, so I went out and got your book, Dark Secrets of the New Age. And guess what she said? It caused me to believe in Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? The very thing the witches had tried to do, to smear Texmar's reputation, caused this woman to go to a bookstore and buy my book. I don't know why she did it. I don't, you know, why did she do it? What do you think? I believe I do know the answer. I think God put it in her heart to go get that book. But she was just going to see how ridiculous this Texmar is. He must be quite a character with all the witches hating him so much and talking about him and despising him and putting hexes and spells, trying to. I hadn't lost any sleep over their hexes and spells, but they tried to, I suppose. But it caused her to find Jesus. Friends, this is the way God works. The more people say bad things about me, the more my name's talked about. And they say, well, let's see what this fool says. Works out for God's advantage. One thing they say, now one man on his website, he criticized me, but he said, well, at least I can say this about Tex Mars. He does believe in Orthodox Christian doctrine, and he does believe in the King James Bible. So those are the two good things about him. I appreciated that. Of course, everything else he said was a lie about me, but at least he had two things that were right. And if I can only be known as a person who believes 100% in the Word of God, the King James Bible, you know what? That is commendation enough. If I could stand before the throne of God someday and God says to me, give an account of yourself, Texmars. If I could just say, well, Lord, I was really a substandard servant. I'm not deserving. But I did, though. I did endorse and support and fight for your word. I just have this strange feeling that God's going to say, well, you've been a faithful servant in at least that respect. Come right on in. I do. I really believe that. And, of course, that all has to do with the fact that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior before I believed in the King James Bible. And 100%, of course, I actually believed the Bible was true even before I became a Christian. But once I became a Christian, I knew. I fought for it then. And I have defended the King James Bible all these many years. I think that's going to count for something. Of course, the biggest thing is, did you trust in my son Jesus? That's what God would want to know. Jesus would say, are you covered by the blood? And I'm going to say, well, thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, I am. And I expect a smile on Jesus' face. I do. Now, those some of the other things that I'm not happy about that I may have done, maybe other people don't think they're great sins, but I do because I have a conscience. But I know I'm forgiven. Are you forgiven, my friends? That's the key. Well, write to us and let us know if you have a prayer need. It would be our great privilege to pray for you. And God hears our prayers. He hears yours too, and that's why I would like for you to pray for us. So let's pray for each other. How about that? Let's have a covenant now between us. We will be in agreement that we will pray for each other's needs. Could you do that with me right now? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for listening to that. And I know he's always listening to our program because there are more than two or three, many more than two or three listening to this program. And where two or three are gathered in his name and we're gathered through the miracle of electronics, he's with us. I believe it entirely. Now, we have a beautiful song for you today. It's by the Blackwood Brothers. Oh, my. They have retired now, and in fact, James Blackwood went on to be with the Lord a few years ago, the founder. Cecil Blackwood, he started another Blackwood Brothers quartet, went to hear him in Spicewood, Texas, a few years back before he passed away. Boy, that was beautiful music. But the Blackwood Brothers have always had classics. Some people say it's sort of old-fashioned today. I am just an old-fashioned man. Go ahead and pillory me and beat me around on it because of that if you want to. I'm just an old prude. I like the old style of music. And hey, after all, God's given me this program to pass on to you. It's both our programs, but I hope you'll forgive me if you don't like this kind of music, but I do. And, you know, I like the words in old gospel music. This one is a tune that says, His grace is sufficient. Do you believe that? Is His grace sufficient? I do. I do. I needed His grace. He gave me His grace and saved me, and He can do it for you too if you don't know Him as Lord. Here are the Blackwood Brothers, and then we're going to continue with our series on the rapture controversy. I'm Pastor Tex Moores of Bible Home Church.
Many times I'm tried and tested as I travel day by day, and oft I meet with pain and sorrow, and there's trouble in my way, but I have assurance that my soul the Lord will lead, and in Him there is strength for every need. Oh, His grace is sufficient for me. It is free, and my joy fills my soul just to know that His grace is sufficient for me. When the tempter brings confusion, and I don't know what to do, down on my knees I turn to Jesus, for I know that He'll see me through. Then despair, it's changed to victory. Every doubt just melts away, and in Him there is hope for every day. Oh, His grace is sufficient for me.
And I told him, I will write the foreword for your book. And I told him there was one small part of it that I did not agree with. And it would be necessary for me to actually say in my foreword that I didn't agree with him either. But on, as far as his taking on all the big names of prophecy, well, I could see that he had the scripture for the most part on his side. And I would write a foreword and explain that he's correct in that as he followed the Bible.
And then I said to him, but let me ask you this question, my good friend. Why are you writing this book? He said, well, I just feel the Lord wanted me to write it. I said, well, I'm asking you that because, you see, this is a book that will go nowhere in terms of sales. Are you aware that no Christian bookstore in America will take this book? Well, he looked. He was like shocked. No, he wasn't aware of that. This is an important book, he said. I'm really obeying the Holy Spirit. Well, this book has all these scriptures. But that's not the point. The point is you are defying all of the top names of Christendom. They don't agree with you. He said, but they don't go by the scripture. And I told him, friend, it doesn't matter whether they go by the scripture or not. They are the big names of Christendom. Do you want this book out? Because no one will publish it. Are you aware of that? He says, no, I wasn't aware. I said, do you have the money, the funds to publish it yourself? He says, well, I'd have to stretch. You know, I'm a businessman. I don't know if I could. I think I could publish it if I had to. I said, well, you will have to. No publisher will take this. He said, just because my beliefs on the doctrine don't coincide with theirs. I said, absolutely. They basically own the bookstores. They own the big churches. They own the big denominations. They own the Christian Booksellers Association. And he says, but the Bible says, I said, they don't care what the Bible says, brother. You must understand. They've got their doctrines that they've developed since C.I. Schofield around the turn of the century. And he says, but those theories of theirs, what they believe about the rapture and so forth, those didn't even come about, he said, till about 1830. He said, I've researched that, and he began to tell. I said, listen, I know all that I told him. But the fact is, you're defying what everybody thinks they know. All the seminaries teach it a different way. He said, the seminaries are wrong. I said, yes, they are. I know. He says, but all of these people that are selling millions of copies of books, they're wrong. I said, yes, they are. But everyone believes what they're saying and won't believe you. He said, but the Christian church believed what I am saying in my book for almost 2,000 years. It's only been this century that these false teachings got out there. I said, yes, but they're out there. Now, you're faced with this difficulty. If you want to publish your book, you'll have to do it with your own money. Then you will not have any Christian bookstores to offer your book, and you must go out there and find a way to get it to the masses of people. Are you able to do that? He said, I will do my best. I said, then I will write your foreword. Because if he hadn't been able to do that, if he'd have just insisted to me that, oh, I'm going to get a Christian publisher to take it, Christian bookstores will offer it, put it on their shelves, I wouldn't have wasted my time. But the man was determined. He said, I must obey God and not men. I said, well, then I will write your foreword. Well, I tell you what happened. The book flopped in the marketplace. But you know, I read it. It probably sold 3,000 to 5,000 copies, at least. Not a bestseller at all. But you know, friends, you know what we're here for? We're not here to sell best-selling books. We're not here to get a big audience, but to follow what God says. That's what we're going to do today. You know, you may say, well, Tex, the way you believe, Billy Graham doesn't teach that away. Well, I don't care what Billy Graham teaches. You may say, well, if people understood what you really believed about the rapture, they may not follow your ministry anymore. Well, then sorry for them. Because if they don't believe what I believe, they don't believe the Bible. So let's go and see what the Bible says. Not what Tex Morris says or Hal Lindsey or John Wolver, but what the Bible has to say. Now, I want to start off with Isaiah 26. Now, let's go to Isaiah 56, 57. A lot of people say, oh, is the rapture in the Old Testament? Oh, yes, indeed it is. Now, Isaiah 56 is a very important chapter of Isaiah because it actually prophesies that not just the Jews will be saved or find salvation, but that God's great loving kindness will extend to all of the peoples of the earth. Yes, it is. He says, the Lord God which gathereth the outcast of Israel saith, yet will I gather others to him. Wow. Oh, yes. I'm telling you, the mercy of God extends to all nations and all races on earth. I love that verse, chapter 56, verse 8. But listen to this. Later on, in verses 9 through 12, God warns, however, that there are those people out there that are like beasts of the field come to devour. Watch out. They'll teach you false doctrines. And he says, his own watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, verse 11, yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. Verse 12 says, come ye, they say, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Friends, there are people out there that say, you don't ever have to worry about tribulation. Don't worry about tribulation. It won't come your way. Let's fetch wine. Let's fill ourselves with strong drink. Let's have prosperity. And tomorrow will be just like today, but even more prosperity will come to us. We'll have even more abundance in the world. You hear it all the time, especially in the charismatic word of faith doctrine. Everything's going to get better and better. We're going to get richer and richer. These are, my friends, are greedy dogs who never have enough. They're shepherds that cannot understand, the Lord says. Now listen to chapter 57. And this is so vital. I'll tell you, I have read this and cried. Chapter 57, Isaiah verse 1 says, the righteous perish, and no man lay it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. Let me read that to you again. It's so important. This is the image of God taking the righteous from this world. In the midst of the wicked, even those who say they're Christians, who are partying and reveling and saying, let's have a great time. Let's party in church. Let's be party animals. God wants us all to not worry, to be happy. There will be no tribulation come. There are not going to be any hard times. God warns, he says, the righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. My friends, when a righteous man perishes, no one cares but God. It says here, and merciful men are taken away. None will care when you're taken away to concentration camps. None will care when you're killed for your faith, when you refuse to take the mark of the beast.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.